Hello and welcome to the Valley Fellowship Podcast. I'm Barone Savory, lead pastor at Valley Fellowship. And on this podcast, we seek to inspire you, to help you acquire a new skill or perspective, or wrestle with difficult questions about life and living in the 21st century. We do this through sermons, through interviews, and through conversations on these different various topics. And so we're so glad that you have joined us today. We hope that you will be inspired by the message that will be shared during this program. If you're looking to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook. Just search for Valley Fellowship SDA Church. You'll find us there. Or if you would like to view previous worship experiences, you can find us on YouTube. Just search for Valley Fellowship SDA Church. God bless you. I hope this message inspires you today.
Nehemiah 4, chapter 10, verse 10. Then Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is failing. There is so much rubbish, that we are not able to build the wall." And our adversary said, "They will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease." So it was then when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, "From whatever place you turn, they will be upon us." And this is what we heard read earlier, read so beautifully. "Therefore I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, 'Do not be afraid of them.'" Turn to your neighbor and say, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." For just the next few moments, I'd like to share, we're in this together. We're in this together. Now find the other neighbor, the other person on the other side, and say, "Neighbor, we're in this together." Father in heaven, Lord, would you use me now to speak the word of life? May each and every person, no matter their age, where they've come from, how they showed up here today, receive a blessing and a word from you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Let us all together say amen. Amen. My brother Ren, good to see you, man. Thank you for being here today. Thank you. The year was 1985. The Jerry Curl was in style. Big cars and big engines, big hair was all the rage. When my father, the man who was sitting there, came and announced to us that we were going to take a family trip. My father had a Lincoln Town Car. You remember the big Lincoln Town Cars? You remember the big ones? The engine hood was as big as the cabin. And he came and he said to us there in 1985 that we're going to take a trip. Well, that might have been met with a lukewarm response, and it got downright cold when he said we're going to drive in the Lincoln Town Car. "Well, Daddy, where are we going?" "Living in Oakland, California." My father said to us that we're driving to General Conference. Now, for those of you all that remember and go back, I was the tender age of about 6 years old at the time, 6, 7 years old. General Conference was in New Orleans, Louisiana. And so all of us in the family began to pack up the Lincoln Town Car. It was my mother and my father. It was Alan, the oldest, who just sang. It was my sister, Colleen. It was myself, the third born. It was my youngest brother, Gerard, the baby. And it was my grandmother. All 7 of us in one car. We turned around and we all said with our collective minds, "Well, we're all in this together." We're all in this now, and so we got a long way to go, over 2,000 miles. This was back in the day where my mom would pack lunches in the truck. Anybody have family trips like that? where mom would pack. We weren't stopping for fast food at the time. No, no, no. She sliced up wham. Come on and say amen. She sliced up some of the veggie chicken and other things, and she had enough of it. She had enough loaves of bread there in the back, and mayonnaise and ketchup and other things to make it nice and right. And then if we needed along the way to get some other fresh vegetables, there was a supermarket along the way. We had a long journey, and we were in this together. All down throughout California, into deserts of Arizona, and into the endless wonderlands of Texas. We drove down through there when I encountered one of the first thunderstorms of my life. My father laughs about it now, but it was not funny then. Because I had never been in the dark blackness of night in Mississippi, where the sky was painted with thunder and the sound of clapping thunder and lightning across the sky would be enough to put fear in a young child's life. I was afraid, but this is what I did know, was that I was not by myself. We were in this together. All together, mother doing her job to keep us on track and to help make sure that we didn't have too many bathroom stops. Come on and say amen. I don't know how they did it, but they made it work somehow, all the way from Oakland, California, over 2,000 miles down into the deep south, but we made some stops along the way. My father needed to show us where he grew up. And we went down into the places where he was raised. It was there that I had the amazing experience. And my father, too, I believe to this day, where he ran into one of his childhood friends. And he did what good Southern men do. They exchanged cowboy hats. I would never forget it. But it is there that I also realized that some of the story that colors his life and some of the things and experiences that were forever emblazed in his mind and in his memory of growing up in a place where he was not seen as equal. Growing up in a place where he showed us one of the houses where he lived, where it was riddled with bullet holes still. I'll never forget some of the walls that were broken down in this country. Some of the places that needed to be rebuilt and some of the experiences we were in it together. He was in it together. And as we take time and pause for just this month of the year, it seems as if we've come a long way in America. Can we say amen? But we realize that we have a long way to go. Am I right about it? Because it was back then that we remember all of the many things, some that are very well known, but others that will never be known by the public, of people who stood up not only by themselves, but we understand that change happened not because of one person standing, but because people stood together and they collectively said, we are in this together. They understood that one person can march and one person could boycott, but it's a whole lot more powerful when everyone gets together and everyone boycotts and everyone says that I'm going to deny myself what it is that I might need at the moment, not because it's all about me, but it's because it is all about us. Isn't that what the church should all be about? Not about individuals, but all about us pulling together. Because when we come together, there is nothing that we cannot do. When we come together, there is nothing that is too hard for God to do through us. It's a whole lot easier. Some people put it this way. Many hands make light work. Brothers and sisters, as we look at the story of Nehemiah, and we're going to spend a couple of weeks here in his story. Next week, I'm going to talk about what to do with your haters. When people are trying to tear you down, what are we going to do about that? But we start here in the middle of this story here where Nehemiah begins to realize that all of the work that's going in to build up the walls is capping and taking its toll on the people. After all that they have done and gone through, and we'll go back to the beginning of the story, but they're there right now. Why are they in this together? You might ask. Well, I would suppose to you that the first reason why they are in the position that they're in, which is not in a good place, is because they have turned away from God. They had turned away from God, and they had decided that they were going to do their own thing. And because they had not listened to God, they find themselves in a city that is ravaged with oppression, a place where no one is safe. Mothers are not safe. Children are not safe. Businesses are being raided, and they're all of the things that they have are being stolen and taken away by those on the outside. Why did that happen? Because it became a society of every man for himself, as opposed to those gathering together and saying, we must do something for ourselves. Isn't that something that we could learn even here today, that when we support one another, that we get a whole lot further? Couldn't it be good if we were to turn to one another instead of tearing each other's businesses down? As we as black people look to try to rise up and do our very best, we want to try to tear one another down. Imagine what we would do with our millions and billions of dollars if we chose to support one another and build each other up as opposed to tear each other down. But maybe let's walk here into our communities. How many communities around us that are brown communities and black communities and other minority communities that are being torn down, and we turn up our ecclesiastical noses at them and say, not my problem. I would suggest to us that the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the very reason that the gospel exists, is not for us to keep it to ourselves, but to share with somebody else so that their lives can be better, so that our communities can be better, so that we can thrive, so that we can accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. My brothers and sisters, it is not about us. It is not about an individual. It is all about us and us being a part of our community. Can you say amen? My brothers and sisters, the reality is this, though, that we cannot reach out into our communities if we ourselves have not handled our business in-house. And Nehemiah has some house business to take care of. He has some things that he needs to do. And so we start off here in verse number 10 of chapter 4 that it says that the strength of the laborers is beginning to fail. My brothers and sisters, here at Valley, as we look to try to build some things, some of you all might look around and say, Pastor, I've been doing things for a long time and my strength is failing. We look around and it seems as if I got to wear 2 and 3 hats. My brothers and my sisters, all of us, we are in this together. And if we bind together, there's nothing that we cannot do. And as we begin to build and as we begin to support one another, I would suggest to us that there is nothing that we cannot do. Some might look around and they might say, be fearful. And I thank you, Elder Strickland, for your prayer today that focused on us not being fearful in our lives. Because here Nehemiah has to begin to posit into them and to remind them exactly who's on their side. And he says, do not be afraid of them. Everybody, somebody turn to the neighbor and say, neighbor, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Remember, the Lord is great and awesome. And I would like to just take a moment and just remind you of how awesome God has been in your life. How great he has been. You're here today, aren't you? God is good. You're here in your mind, and isn't God awesome, and isn't he incredible? You're not what you used to be. Isn't God good, and isn't God awesome? You might not be where you want to be or live where you want to be, but guess what? You got a roof over your head, and you showed up, and you showing up look good. Isn't God awesome today? God has been awesome in your life. If we remember what God has done and where he has brought us from, sometimes it will cause us to lift our hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for where I am right now. Can you say amen? You know, you shouldn't worry about where you at right now, because guess what? He's got a mansion waiting for you. You're going to walk on streets of gold. You're not going to have to deal with potholes forever. Come on and say amen. You're not going to have to deal with crazy neighbors for the rest of your life. There's a whole better place that is waiting for you if we just hold on and hang on in there. He says, don't be afraid and remember how great and how awesome your God is. And I would cause us to say that we must begin to look back and remember how awesome God has been. But I would also suggest to us that if we spend all of our time looking in the rearview mirror of how good God has been, we might miss what God is doing right now in your life. Because I would suggest to each and every one of us that God is doing something in your life right now. It may not be comfortable, but God is doing something in your life right now. It may not be the best situation, but God is doing something to make that bad situation a much better one in your life. Don't miss what God is doing right now. This church has a rich history. Come on and say amen. As I walked in, I saw the wall. I said, man, look at all of these mighty men of God. And some might sit back and they might say, reflect on yesteryears, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I believe that God has something great in store for the future. That it can return back and be even better than what it once was. I love that story of Naaman the leper that went down, and the Bible says that he did not return his skin to the condition where it was before. The Bible says that his skin was as if it were a brand newborn baby. I believe that God takes our history and our stories and causes us to build even greater and better things. And we look back and we see that the people are in this position because they have turned their back on God, and they had to be reminded of their greatness and their awesomeness. They had to be reminded of how incredible they are in the eyes of God. And I might suggest to each and every one of us here today that when we lead with love and remind people how beautiful they are and that they are loved by God, that it changes the way that they see themselves. If we turn to our community and those that have been ostracized and marginalized and say, did you know that God still finds you beautiful? That it can change the lives of people. That it can change the way. We don't know the gifts that others have that are walking around and among us until we begin to pour love into them and pour hope into them and remind them that they indeed are a child of God. But Nehemiah realizes that as he encourages them that there are some real threats. Everybody say real threats. There's some real threats that are happening. Because the people that are there that have taken advantage of God's children there in Jerusalem realize that God's people have gotten together and are on the same page. They're getting weary and they're coming together and they're getting onto the same page and they're realizing that progress is being made. Hear me today, not everybody is excited when you make progress. There are some people that profit off of you being down. There are some people that it is more advantageous for you to think negatively of yourself so that you can be susceptible and vulnerable to things that you really should not be vulnerable to because you think so lowly of yourself. Others will come in and take advantage of you. They begin to realize that they're losing their advantage and their control. They're not excited about it because they realize it's not going to be as easy for us to go in and steal from them. It's not going to be as easy because now instead of them coming to us for loans, they're going to deal with each other and help one another out instead. We're going to lose money. Our bank is going to close. Now they're supporting one another and they're going to build themselves up. We have a real problem on our hands and they begin to plot to kill them. They begin to sow seeds of discouragement and sow seeds of discord and begin to tell stories and cause them to be afraid. Isn't that what they did with water hoses to some of our aunts and uncles, grandmothers and grandfathers as they began to march to try to discourage them? And even in some cases, they even took their very own lives to try to hold them down. But I'm so glad that lynching could not kill the spirits. I'm so glad that no matter how many times they beat them, their spirit would not be killed. That though they might have turned hoses on them and told them you belong in the back of the bus, that they said, I choose not to believe that. I'm going to do it a little while longer. Even though those that came in and sat at counters in restaurants that said for whites only, and they had things that were pouring on them, they kept their composure because they realized that it wasn't only for them, it was for us in 2020, so that we might have an opportunity to support and love one another. I'm so glad that they stood their ground and did not get discouraged. Brothers and sisters, today our young people face barrages of discouragement all around. People trying to tell them who they should be and where they should go and how they should talk and try to hold them down with a low image of themselves. I would remind each and every young person that is here today that you are a child of God with a mind that can change the world, with talents and gifts that this church needs, and you will find a place here in this church where you can use your talents and gifts for the glory of God. Can you say amen? He has a real problem on his hands. And I would suggest to you that even though there is great power in meekness, that every now and again, you got to let people know that you got some real heat behind you. I can be real nice, but let me tell you something. If you put a hand near Joelle or Solange, you're going to find out a few things about me. I can be prayed up, but mama and daddy raised me in San Bernardino. Come on and amen. I might not be Deontay Wilder, but I know how to fight for mine. Come on and say amen. He says that the people had a mind to work, but their issues and their people that are plotting against them to kill them. And so Nehemiah instructs them to do this. And I believe that here in the Church of God that we have to have the same mentality here. That he says, look, I want you to have a shovel in one hand. But I need you to go find a honing stone and find that dagger that you stole, that you stored in the closet. And I need you to have your dagger on your hip. And then he says this, he says in some areas of the wall that were not built up, that were susceptible to those coming in and stealing, that I put some men there for the sole purpose of protecting the city, and they had their weapons on them. Everybody say they had weapons. Now, some of you all might say, now, Pastor, are you advocating for violence? No, I'm not advocating for violence. But you know what? There's a whole lot of people that stand up and pay attention when they know that you didn't come to just play and pray. And so they were serious about what they were doing. And then he does this. He says this. He says half of them were there building. Everybody say half. And then he said the other half, they had weapons for protection. Everybody say protection. But you know what 50 plus 50 equals? 100. Which meant that laziness was not allowed. Everybody had something to do. Because if they were going to build something from rubble, it required everybody. In other words, they were in this together. And because they were in it together, he says, look, some of you all are going to be assigned to this area, and some of you all are going to be assigned to another area. But listen, everybody has a place and a role to play. And I would suggest to each and every one of us here at Valley Fellowship that each and every one of you has a role to play. Can you say amen? All of you have a part to play in success and in building. And sometimes we will have a concrete in our hands and mixing it and pouring it. But other times we need people who will stand there with a dagger in their hands and say, we are going to protect the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? We're not going to let anything and everything come on up in here, because we got minds to protect. We got lives to protect. We got people to protect. Everybody is welcome, but if you begin to act crazy, we know how to deal with the enemy. Can you say amen? Are we going to put some prayer on it? And I believe that prayer changes things. I love what Nehemiah does. Everybody has a job to do because they're in it together. And they're there together, beginning to build and to bear each other's burdens. Each one doing the job. And he begins to say this. He says, not only did I place men there, but then he inserts a word that I really love, families. If there's anything that each and every one of us here in this place, we love our families. At least we should. Come on, say amen. He says that families began to work together. Everyone there. And as I begin to build an image in my mind, it reminds me of that trip that we took of over 2,000 miles together. Daddy drove. Mom made sure that us as the kids were taken care of and well fed. My grandmother was there pointing out and sharing stories. And we as children were taking it all in and learning and growing. All of us there as a group and as a family on a journey. Well, just as Nehemiah was there, and I'll fast forward to the end of the story, that there at the end of the story, after them working together and building together, that the wall is built up. But I want you to understand this fundamental fact, that it was not easy and it did not happen overnight. Every single day they had to show up and somebody had to do the dirty work and somebody had to be there and lay their lives literally on the line. They took abuse along the way and they had to defend along the way. But you know what? They did not allow it to discourage them. My brothers and sisters, I believe that the best is yet to come. That we are here and we are in this together. I would suggest to you that in the story of history that Jesus, who came down here from heaven to earth, realized that the walls of earth have been broken down by sin, that there were some issues and that there were some problems. What are we going to do about it? Well, Jesus did not come here all by himself. See, he needed Mary and he needed Joseph. He needed a family that would hone and develop his skills. And Joseph taught him to be a carpenter, but he understood that the word of God was the most important thing that he could pour into his young Messiah's son's life. And so he begins to teach the word of God into the life of Jesus. And Jesus begins to grow in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and with man. But the wall continued to be built because he had a job to do and a job to finish. Oh, you see him there as he performed his first miracle in the Canaanite wedding there where he turns water into wine. He was building up the wall just a little bit higher. He was there, but he said, I can't do this on my own. And so he got 12 men to come and work with them, and they were imperfect brothers. They weren't the best brothers. Some of them were doubting. Some of them were lying. One of them sold them out eventually. All of them had their own issues, but he surrounded himself with misfits, and he said, I'm not here by myself. We are in this together. Oh yes, he called a few aside there in Gethsemane as he began to pray, praying so hard that blood began to bead from his brow. He was there and he said, look, I'm just going to call a few of my brothers to be with me. But it was in that moment that he realized that they were too tired to stay awake, but he still wasn't by himself, for his father was there with him. And he said, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And the wall was built a little bit higher. But it seemed as if it was going to remain incomplete when he got there to Calvary and he began to die there on the cross. And he begins to say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what it is that they are doing. I don't know what's on the other side and if he'll begin to be able to finish the wall. But there Jesus hangs his head and he dies. But I'm so glad that that's not the end of his story. I'm so glad that it gets even better than that. I'm so glad that he rested there Friday and on Saturday. But I'm glad that when he woke Jesus up early on Sunday morning, that the final bricks were laid there on the wall. And it was was finally complete. But he said that there are some things that I need to leave behind for others, and so I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit. And guess what? That's what we got. What are we going to build with? We're going to build with prayer. We're going to build with love. We're going to build with holiness. We're going to build with song. We're going to build with our community. But we're going to do it under the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? We are in this together. There's building to do. And I just believe that just as Jesus completed the majority of his mission, to which will be finally joined together when he comes again, that there is an expectation for us to continue to do our work and do our job. What is our job? It's to love people, care for our communities, to learn to love ourselves, and to do the work of Christ. Well, in the end there, they built, they carried the burdens, and the wall was completed. For our journey, we arrived there in New Orleans at the time of our lives, and a memory that I will never, ever forget. But there's still places and things that God is building in me. And there are things that God is building in each and every one of you. The Bible reminds us, and this is a promise that we can hold on to, that our God, which began a work in you, will not leave it incomplete. He will finish it. It might not be the way that we want it to be, but he's finishing something.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I pray that the message was inspiring and encouraging to you. If you'd like to connect with us, you can visit our website, valleyfellowshipsda.org. That's valleyfellowshipsda.org. There you can find out more information about our church. And if you'd like to give, you can find a link there to give to help support our ministry at Valley Fellowship. If you'd like to reach out to me, I'd love to hear from you. My email address is pastor@valleyfellowshipsda.org. Once again, that's pastor@valleyfellowshipsda.org. God bless you. Be inspired throughout the rest of today and be encouraged that God is on your side.